This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We're brothers. We're happy and we're singing and we're happy.
It's Jason and John on Memphis' sports station, 92.9 FM, ESPN. Presented live and locally by the Wing Guru. The Wing Guru.
Hey, who that, man, this what you been waiting for? I mean, the game was all bad just a week ago. Rappers was listening, I ain't hating, though, cause now I'm getting hot enough to even wanna stay at home. And she can't tell the difference. I've been through hell conditions, wishing for air conditioning, feeling God was never listening. Now I'm on television, and did I fail to mention? Your girl is out of missionary, boy, you failed the mission. Speaking of positions, just witness how I elevated. Real if you celebrated, finger poke whoever hated. My life accelerated, but had to wait my turn, then I redecorated. That mean my table's turned. Live life, might as well. Only way to learn is try and fail. Clients are the only way to earn. So if you're selling, or if you're selling rap, make sure it's mean so the fiends keep on selling back. Who that got that flame? Who that got that flame? Who that got that flame? So don't worry about my name. I gotta say, who that?
All right. You're rolling with Jason and John, 92.9 FM, ESPN. It is Monday. We are rolling up in here off a very eventful weekend. A lot went on. February 25th, to be exact. We've got a lot to look forward to. Obviously, Tigers back in action tomorrow night, John, after a big win at Wichita State. A win that I'm not sure that many of us maybe thought was coming after you go down double digits in the first half, and it's looking like another slow start for Memphis. But, John, they bounced back. Got a good win. They were able to do that. Grizzlies were not able to get a win in their back-to-backs. That's okay. We can talk about that at another time.
Did you see Jeremiah Martin last night?
That's kind of what everybody's rolling on right now. And, frankly, we've never seen a role like this that I can remember in terms of offensive output, in terms of offensive explosion. Jeremiah Martin is rolling, and he did again against Wichita State. John Martin, 37 points. My goodness.
This is how Tubby Smith got Tyler Harris to Memphis. By pointing to Jeremiah and saying, this is what you can be.
I remember those days.
And it is continuing to happen at an unprecedented level, for
My
sure.
Goodness, he's on a roll.
For Jeremiah Martin, who is leading this Memphis team and carrying them on his back. Big road win on the road, obviously, at Wichita State. They've only lost, like, three games at home over the last 3 years. Like, I'm exaggerating, but they're awesome at home.
Place looked like a sellout. That was the thing, is that you, atmosphere-wise, we talked about some of these places they've been on the road and having to kind of create their own atmosphere. And even down in South Florida, where you lose that one, there's not many people in the stands. Wichita State, they were rooting hard against you. McDuffie had said, with their senior forward, had said, look, this is a payback run for us. We're trying to get all the teams to beat us the first time around. So you had a lot going against you, and it looked like they would fold early on when they went down. Was it 16, I think, in the first half there? But no, they bounced back thanks to Rainier Thornton and Kareem Bruden. Should have mentioned them, their first half performance. We'll get more into it, but there's no question. Jeremiah Martin, who now moved into 13th place all time in the U of M scoring list, past Andre Turner. How about that? A mentor and a former coach of his. Thought I'd never see that day, brother, that Jeremiah would be climbing this high on the scoring list.
Yep. So it was a spectacular performance, yet another spectacular performance for Jeremiah Martin. Over the weekend. At 11:45, we're going to talk to Andre Turner about that. Andre Turner coached him at Mitchell, I believe it was, right? He was a coach on that staff. We will talk to Andre Turner about Jeremiah Martin, about his development. I'm sure, I mean, even if you were the stoutest, right, the most staunch of believers of Jeremiah Martin, there is no way after his freshman season you saw this happening.
Right.
That you saw at the end of it, you know, he would be potentially in the top 10 all time of scoring at Memphis. I mean, then nobody could have possibly or would have possibly predicted that. Not even Jeremiah himself. Yet here he is. He's on the precipice of potentially doing that. I mean, if he keeps scoring at this clip, and he'll have a tough one against Cincinnati on the road, it'll be tough for him to continue scoring 30 a game on the road there. But, you know, it's possible. It is certainly possible.
Well, the top 10 that I thought, you know, I told you about two or three games ago I didn't think was possible, which would mean, you know, getting about to 1545, I think it is, where CDR is, that's now in the realm of possibility. He's only 96 points away from that. So that's definitely, with three more regular season games left, you figure you at least got a couple in the when it comes to the AAC tournament.
Got a couple there, and then they're going to get in the NIT if they don't make the NCAA tournament.
So he's making top 10.
Yes, he will.
96 points again will get him to top 10. And, yeah, Jeremiah Martin's going to go down as a top 10 scorer at the University of Memphis. And to your point, to sort of wrap this up, we're getting Andre at 11:45, Coach Turner. April 15, 2015, Andre Turner was in that building when Jeremiah signed with Memphis. I was there, too. I took a picture from that. Never thought that day, like you said, that we'd be looking at a guy to be top 10, finish his career top 10 at Memphis.
Like, Jeremiah Martin is going to pass Christelis Roberts. A multiple-time All-American. Like, mm-hmm. let's just consider that for a second. That is insane.
Mm-hmm.
That is insane.
What's insane is that he's shooting 53%. While he's averaging this almost 31 points per game over the last seven, he's been crazy hot from three. We'll get more into it, but this run he's on, you can't say enough about it.
No question. We
haven't seen one like this offensively.
Yeah, it's true. So we'll talk to Andre Turner about that at 11:45. At 12:25, we're going to talk to Ramona Shelburne, who covers the NBA for ESPN. Lakers are in town tonight. LeBron James and the Los Angeles Lakers are in town tonight. You, my friend, will be there, and I'm worried. Listen to this passionate Memphis fan base. Listen to them. I'm worried.
Why?
That you got your head busted on these tickets.
Well, I had no freebies when LeBron's in town.
I know that.
And I've got a 5-year-old that likes LeBron. And so, yeah, the credit card took a hit. Credit card took a hit this weekend to get in there, to get little CJ in with his father. Yeah, we took a hit this weekend.
Now,
I had to put that thing on credit.
Now, you know you can get into the building for as low as $22.50 a ticket.
That's up in the bleeds.
Yeah, but, I mean, okay, fine.
Chris's dad wears glasses. We got no Chris may not even be able to see from the bleeds.
Okay, fine. I can get you in the pinnacle level for $120.
Why are you going to tell me that now, dude? I'm trying to get Chris close.
How close are you?
For a Grizzlies win tonight.
How close are you?
We're in 103.
So you're in the lower level.
It's not bad.
Yeah, you're in the lower
Could
level.
Probably got my head busted a little bit over on StubHub, but that's okay. Credit cards, we're going to be all right. We're going to manage. We're gonna spend, we got 24 months to pay this thing off?
Yeah, no interest?
Yeah, 24, no interest. Yeah, right. It's a credit card, dude. You know the rate.
Yeah, I don't know if maybe you got an introductory rate. Maybe you opened up a new one for this.
You find it funny that I spent, I mean, I'm also supporting this town's franchise when I do that, John.
You're right.
Don't just take a freebie like you.
That's a
you know
point.
What I'm saying? I'm supporting this franchise staying here.
You need it.
Okay?
They need it.
For
not,
the next
not
decade
you.
Or more.
They need it. So if they made a little bit of money on you, you know what? That's fine.
Wexler says that we're happy to take your money. Look, I'm not rooting for the Lakers. There's a little 5-year-old that might be tonight. Yeah.
Chris
you know
is.
What I'm saying?
Yeah.
Hey, the dude's room is painting Grizzlies colors. It's up to them to go win and win him over.
You're going to have to paint him purple and gold here in a little bit.
We'll see about that.
No Jaren Jackson tonight, unfortunately, nor will we have Jaren Jackson. It appears, perhaps, for the rest of the season, as he has what they are calling a deep bruise.
Deep thigh bruise.
A deep thigh bruise.
You know about those deep thigh bruises.
I really don't, actually.
Didn't you get one in soccer or something?
I never had one of those, man.
Okay.
Not familiar with those at all.
Put you out for the foreseeable future.
I guess it will. Yeah. I suppose it will.
You don't play with those deep thighs.
They used to tell you to, rub some dirt on it back in the day.
Well, I mean, come on. He is our,
no question.
Prized rookie here.
But, again, if you're trying to convey the pick, this will not help
Forget
you.
About it.
So, yeah, can we go ahead and do that now? No more conveying talk. Done.
I think
they lost to Cleveland on Saturday.
I think after losing to Cleveland, we can stop talking about that.
Okay. So, anyway, Ramona Shelburne's going to join us at 12:20.
She just had a baby.
She did have a baby. I don't know if it was like just, I think she, in the last, several months.
Gotcha,
yeah,
gotcha.
She does have a newborn, I guess
Good
you could say.
Her.
Yeah, so we'll talk to Ramona Shelburne at 12:25. And then at 1:25, Jason Fitz is going to join us. We will talk express with him. Quarterback change over the weekend. They go with Zach Mettenberger finally benched Christian Hackenberg.
Praise God.
I want winners.
And they still lose, by the way. They still lost.
That's all right.
I guess.
I saw a spark in that team this weekend in the second half. you asking questions after the L, like, what are we going to do about the Express? I'm going to tell you what we're going to do. We're going to start Zach Mettenberger, and we're going to get this thing turned around.
Let's go.
It's what we thought at the beginning of the season. Mike Singletary's found a winner.
Yeah, but they're
and
out,
it looks
they're
like
out
his name's Mettenberger.
They're already out of
it
now.
Is it too late? That's the problem.
Yeah, they're out of it, man. They're not making the playoffs with or without him.
What do you mean they're out of it? They're 0-3. How in the world do you know if they're out of it?
There's 10 games.
We're going to have to go
7-3.
We're going to have to go undefeated.
You got no idea how this thing's going to play out down the stretch of the first season, dude. That could turn it around. You saw that. The defense is solid already. Put some points on the board, and you'll be beating the San Diego Fleet this weekend. Did I get that name right?
They're bad, right?
Yeah, 2-1, I think.
Oh, they're 2-1.
Look at how much I know much more than about the AAF than you do.
It's a must win.
It is.
Oh, it's definitely a must win.
0-4, now say your chances then, John.
They're dead.
Mettenberger's going to be the spark, man.
I hope so.
The question is, why wasn't Singletary ready after the game to say, he's my starter going forward? This man said he got to look at the film.
Oh, no doubt. So we'll talk about that with Jason Fitz. Greenbrook won Best Picture of the
Year.
It's actually called
Greenbrook.
You're going to keep calling that thing Greenbrook.
Greenbrook.
I think Greenbrook is where they kept Dustin Hoffman and Rain Man, bro.
Greenbrook. The apartment complex.
Is what Mahershala Ali is in. Okay,
that's true. Greenbrook is the famous apartment complex in Memphis.
Yeah,
I can understand a little bit of the slip up.
Mom always told me, do not cross Macon into the Greenbrook apartment section.
This man said Greenbrook.
Well, okay, I've never even heard of the movie until yesterday, so congratulations.
Happy for the folks that live in Greenbrook. Like, they're getting a lot of notoriety.
This is
today.
Big for Greenbrook apartment. I don't think it's called that anymore, though. I think it's called something else.
Anyway, they changed it.
Accuracy, John.
Yeah, Jason Fitz is going to join us at 1:25. But we would be remiss if we do not begin with what was a much-needed. Listen, I don't know where you're at on this, but there's only one way that the Tigers can get a top-4 seed in this tournament.
How's that?
And that was by winning that game on Saturday, and only losing to Cincinnati the rest of the way. To even be in the conversation, right?
Yeah.
Have a
you
shot.
You might even make an argument Memphis got to beat Cincinnati to really get in there. Because, again,
I think
tying UCF does not, as far as I can look at it right now, tying UCF wouldn't necessarily help you in terms of the regular season standings. I think they would win the tiebreaker based on a whole lot of details and particulars. But you're going to have to finish ahead of them. So, number one, you need the help from UCF, but you really need Memphis to sort of run the table. There is hope if you go 2-1 with the loss to Cincy, but it's going to be tough.
Yeah, and if you go 2-1 and you basically need UCF to lose.
To lose all four of their last games.
That's possible.
If you read them off, it very much is.
I mean, if you just go game by game, because they play Cincinnati again, they play Houston again.
I'll just give them to you. On Wednesday's the big one. They're at South Florida.
Yep.
Okay?
You need some help.
And they beat South Florida at their place. Now, the rest of them, like John said, at Houston versus Cincy at Temple, all very losable games.
Temple's good at home.
Yes.
Houston's not going to lose.
Cincy's at UCF in that one. And, again, Cincy was shaky against UConn this weekend. That's not outside the realm of possibility UCF could win.
But Cincinnati needs to win for seeding purposes
They
as
certainly
well.
Do. That's where I was going.
It would almost be considered a bad loss.
So if USF could somehow on Wednesday pull off the and I think KenPom right now has got USF winning, if I'm not mistaken.
Yep.
If they could win that game, UCF could be on its way to an 0-4 finish.
Possible.
Again, they're coming off a game where Taco Fall just had 20-20 now.
Yep.
I mean, they destroyed SMU.
Yep.
Again, and you're talking about what Memphis needs. Look at the schedule and talk yourself into it. Those are good teams playing the rest of the way.
If Memphis goes 2-1 the rest of the way.
Three of their final four on the road, UCF.
If UCF goes 0-4 and Memphis goes 2-1, that would mean Memphis finishes a game ahead.
Yep.
And
gets the 4 seed.
It's possible.
Because forget about Temple coming out. They just got too many. Even you beat them, they got too many easy wins the rest of the way. Because it's versus Tulane at UConn, and then they're home for Central Florida. I don't think Temple's going to experience some kind of drop-off. It's not outside the realm of possibility. Again, they're UCF to end the year. They're at UConn. UConn gave Cincy
trouble.
I'm not counting on Temple dropping out.
No, you're identifying
it's UCF that you want.
Yeah, and we've seen UCF is very inconsistent. We've seen they can beat you by 50 like they did friggin' yesterday against SMU, or they can lose by 20 like they did against Memphis.
The funny thing about them is they're just like Memphis in the sense they don't have a quad one win. Mm-hmm. Everybody looks at UCF, Lunardi, all these guys saying they passed the eye test. John, their best win's Alabama at home.
Right.
And that's an Alabama team that, if last I looked, I think is under 500 in the SEC. It's not like some huge, great win. All they've got over you right now is a win over Temple, which you can still get. That said, Memphis wins a couple more of these, you're in that position UCF is. It's unfortunate for Memphis where they are right now. But again, beat them, sweep them. Maybe you're a different side. I was talking about this with Bennett. None of us expect them to go to Cincinnati this coming Saturday and win.
Correct.
But if you did do that, if you did do that, that'd be your signature victory, right? Mm-hmm. That'd be the one that'd be your best victory of the year, obviously, on the road at Cincinnati. That's a quad one win.
Yep.
Okay. You and I both think that in the tournament, and again, you could be talking about 4 and 4 days if you're the fifth seed, if you don't get up to the top four, that you feel like if you could make a run to the finals, you're going to have to beat a Houston or Cincinnati to do that.
Mm-hmm.
That would be potentially, again, this is a long stretch. This is a lot of way. But potentially would be another possibility for a high, high level win. At that point, I'm not sure that you don't look better than a UCF on a resume. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Obviously, again, that's saying a lot has to happen. But with the way Jeremiah Martin's playing, and we'll certainly get to that, I mean, it's historic, you know. You feel a lot better about it, especially particularly with the way they played against Wichita State.
Yeah, so it was a nice win.
This could all been mute if you lose that game.
No doubt.
They did not.
No doubt. So nice
moot.
Win.
Excuse
for,
me.
Yeah, nice win for Memphis over the weekend, and it was once again a result of an extraordinary performance from Jeremiah Martin. He's coming off his career high.
Mm-hmm.
He's coming off his career high of 43. You're like, there's no way that there's just at some point, right? It's going to end. He can't keep doing this night in and night out, especially on the road, right?
And against a well-coached team. I know one with a new cast, but one that had been playing well here down the stretch, and one that certainly, like I said, you know, had a goal of trying to embarrass you because of you beating them here. Their senior forward said that, Marcus McDuffie. And so, look, this was a game that could have very easily gone the other way, and in the first half looked like it was going to. Looked like the same Memphis team that we've typically seen on the road gets off to the slow start. They're jacking shots, sort of undisciplined in terms of not running any offense and just sort of playing into Wichita State's hands. But all of a sudden, you see really Rainier Thornton and Kareem Brewton. Kareem hitting those wild shots that he seems to be better at than when he just squares up and shoots.
Yep.
He is better when he is spinning and getting crazy shots in the lane. Those are the ones that go in. And then Rainier doing things on that offensive glass, kind of working for you. They keep you involved. And John, do you realize this, that we're talking about how great Jeremiah was, and he was, 37 points. In that first half, John? He was 1 of 8 from the field.
Yep.
He had just 8 points in the first half.
Yep.
I mean, most of it was Kareem and Rainier Brewton sort of keeping you in the game and responding to falling behind 16. If not for them, what Jeremiah Martin does in the second half is not enough for you.
So no, that's true.
They were solid for you in that first half, really kept you in the game.
37 points from Jeremiah Martin. I don't think he missed a free throw.
No.
He did not miss a free throw, and they needed every single one of them.
This man goes 1 of 8 in the first half. And you're thinking, all right, well, you know, been a good run, right? 8 points. He goes for 29 in a second half on 8 of 11, John.
Yep.
8 of 11 from the field. He's 5 of 6 from the three and 8 of 8 from the free throw line in the second half. Like you said, didn't miss one. I think he was 6 of 6 in the first half, 14 of 14 from the line.
Unbelievable.
It's against a Greg Marshall coach team that this dude's averaging 29 points coming into this game on a 6-game span. And you know Greg Marshall has told everybody on his team and on his staff, we're not letting this kid beat us. And in the first half, they're feeling good about it when he's 1 of 8 for 8 points. And all of a sudden, this kid goes to a level that, again, John, I mean, we've seen some good ones through here.
Yeah.
I mean, we've seen some great players from Larry Finch to Penny Hardaway to Derrick Rose and a bunch, you know, CDR. And we have not seen a run like this. Now, a lot of things play into it.
It's true.
You know, this Memphis team is at its best when it's just giving the ball to Jeremiah Martin and saying, go. Some of these other stars, they had more around them.
Yep.
And so it's all playing into that. But again, to take the bull by the horns is something sort of Penny said about Jeremiah when they had their meeting. And to be shooting the ball like this, 54% from three, you know, over the last 7 games, 53% overall, he's taken it to a level that I don't think any of us thought was possible. And again, you're doing it against an outfit, against a scout, where they've said, look, that's the guy. We slow him down, we'll beat him. And again, 29 in the second half, 8 of 11, it's unstoppable.
That's the most impressive thing about it, because you know that's the only thing that other teams are focusing on the scouting report, is just take Jeremiah out of the game.
You can't stay in front of him right now.
Right. And you can't. They can't.
65 of 122 over this 7. And listen, this 7 includes, as we said, 2 40-point games, a 37 now, and then a 31. From three, he's 31 of 57 in those 7 games. So, John, he's taking about 8 a game, and he's making 4.5 of them.
No question.
So, it's not just him getting to the bucket or taking guys off dribble. He's shooting the ball at a clip we've never seen, and he's moving up the charts. Again, 13th in career points now. He just passed Andre Turner. You're talking about a guy now that's sixth in career steals. I tweeted this out of the weekend. Sixth in career steals, needs five more. He'll pass Antonio Anderson for fifth. Antonio Anderson, one of the greats. Jeremiah is going to lead Memphis in steals for a third consecutive season. The last man to do that at Memphis was Antonio Anderson.
Wow.
Now, as much as we're talking about his offense, he continues to be that defensive pest. 10th in career assists, 7th in made free throws. This dude is he's going to go down as one of the best to ever put the uniform on. And we would never have said that at the when he first put that uniform on, that was even possible.
It is a remarkable thing to consider that he's going to be top 10 in all those categories. You know,
he's getting that 96. I don't see any way that he stopped. I didn't think it was possible at one point here about 3-4 games ago. But again, Jeremiah over the last seven is averaging 30.7 points. I didn't think that was possible.
Yeah. So
the question is, and I've talked to an NBA scout that you and I both know, and I threw him these numbers.
Yeah.
And he sort of brushed it off.
Uh-huh.
And then I showed him. I showed him threes and not just the percentages, but the actual numbers.
Mm-hmm.
And that this isn't just 10 threes and he's hit five of them. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like we said, the production is unbelievable. And he came back and he said, let me pass this around. And they came back with,
are you going to get Jeremiah Martin drafted?
What we know is it's a light draft. Uh-huh. Am I saying that Jeremiah Martin's played himself in the first round? Heck no, not saying that. And again, we're talking about somebody we never even thought we put draft and his name in the same sentence.
Yep.
But you tell me, with the way he's shooting the ball from three.
Yep.
With the way we know he can defend, just told you, first Tiger to lead the team for three straight years in steals since Antonio Anderson. You tell me why at 6'2 or 6'3 he can't be a sort of a 3-and-D point guard type, if he can continue to shoot like this.
Yeah, I mean, crazier things have happened.
Crazy things have happened. So that scout said Portsmouth would be important. A tournament like that where Shaq Goodwin went, guys who,
exactly,
you know, probably on the outside, not looking at being drafted,
yep,
but could potentially sort of
win. Yep.
He'd have to be great. Be good there.
Yep.
Be good in these invites to these camps, these workouts that you'll get invited to. And we'll see in what's a light draft. Who knows? But what we do know is he's on the radar now. And he has to be with the way he's shooting the ball again and the pest he can be defensively.
Yeah, it's remarkable to
watch. A lot
watch.
Of hard and hard work have gone in for Jeremiah. We didn't even talk about the Liz Franck and the hernia, you know.
Mm-hmm.
We talk about how he stayed through three coaches. This kid's overcome a lot.
Yep.
Should be fun to talk to one of his former coaches, Andre Turner, who he just passed this weekend. I bet you Andre never saw this coming either.
I feel like every Monday we're talking about Jeremiah Martin.
Well, we should be.
Yeah, I agree.
It's really given a season that, you know, everybody's already starting to look forward to next year, and probably already is in many instances. But it's given it meaning. You know, now it's can you ride this hot streak to a tournament, which is where Jeremiah wants to go.
Yep.
You know, it's given it real meaning here in Penny's first season. And look, this ain't just your average, you know, first-time coach first. Look up at what's happening in UConn. That's around 500 in Dan Hurley's first season. You know what I'm saying? A little bit of a up-and-down mess. This one's been more good than bad. So you'd have to give the credit to Penny Hardaway. And certainly what a heck of a story this has been for Jeremiah Martin.
There is no question about it. All right, we'll come back. Lots more to come. Ramona Shelburne going to join us at 12:25. Jason and John, 92.9 FM, ESPN.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Broadcasting on 92.9, 680 AM, and online at 92.9ESPN.com. This is the Jason and John Show, presented by the Wing Guru. Only on Memphis' sports station, 92.9 FM, ESPN.
How was Kiss? I know this isn't Kiss, but how was Kiss?
It was amazing.
Good.
The pictures looked a lot.
All the white people
more exciting
in
than
Memphis
you sounded.
Convened and converged upon this concert.
How many would you say were there, Bennett?
It was a packed house, man. I mean, I'm sure they had. I mean, obviously they got to block out some seating for the stage, but I'm sure they had 16,000.
Really?
Yeah.
What was the demographic makeup of the crowd?
You know what it was.
Well, everybody was in face paint, so you couldn't tell, right?
It's just a good old rock and roll crowd.
How was Beal afterward?
Uh, Pretty lit. Yeah.
Did you run into Gene Simmons on Beal?
A bunch of them, I bet.
Ran into a couple Gene Simmons on Beal, yes.
Oh, those are just impersonators?
Yeah, Gene himself was not. He would never, you know, come and stand with the peasant folk. That's not,
yeah.
He doesn't do that.
Well, I'm glad you guys had a good time.
You had a heck of a weekend with Kiss and then the Oscars last night.
Man, it was a really nice weekend.
Mm-hmm. And
really,
then really nice. Wrestling tonight, I'm sure.
We'll find out at
1:50.
No, I'll be going to see LeBron James tonight. So.
Oh, he's going to mix it up tonight. He's definitely going to mix it up. It was a good weekend for Bennett. It was not a good weekend for one of Bennett's favorite teams, the Memphis Grizzlies.
They're one of our favorite teams, John.
The Memphis Grizzlies lost over the weekend to the Cleveland Cavaliers and the Clippers. But I mean, again, mostly. We're going to focus on the Cleveland Cavaliers. Now, 2 weeks ago, when you were in Atlanta, mm-hmm. Chris Wallace gave a rousing press conference. Mm-hmm. It was a rallying cry almost. We want to convey, this is the year to do it. This is the year that we finally want to get. If you want to get out of a draft, this is the one to get out of, right?
Right.
And I said at the time, look, man, I understand why you think that, and that probably is the case.
Mm-hmm.
But it's going to be real awkward if you're saying this, and then here you are in June drafting fifth, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And then you're gonna try to attempt somebody to convince somebody, no, we liked you. I mean, it's just whatever. Everybody would get over it. It's just going to look awkward. It's going to look kind of silly. And frankly, ladies and gentlemen, that is exactly what's going to happen. Any talk of conveying this pick should be dead by now. It's over. I just don't see how a team that loses to the Cavaliers, right, can do that. I just don't. You can't, realistically,
mm-hmm.
unless you go on some amazing, magical run.
Mm-hmm.
Now the focus should be on the draft. The Grizzlies are going to have a draft pick this summer.
100%.
They're going to have a draft pick. They're not conveying it to Boston. They would. I mean, like I said, it would take a miraculous, magical run here. And so I think as a show, it would be best if we started focusing on prospects.
I think it's actually smart.
We haven't done that.
It seems responsible.
Nobody's looked forward. We've
always been like, you know what? We're not even going to think about it because the Grizzlies are going to convey the pick.
Well, mm-hmm. bro, we said on Friday, like, hey, you need to win this weekend if you have any chance.
Because you had Cleveland, you got Chicago coming up. You said these are the ones.
Yeah, I know the Clippers are close to the playoffs, but like still, it was a home game.
Well, especially once you throw in the Jarens, you know, out for the foreseeable future. Like, let's stop.
How depressing is that?
It's pretty depressing.
Because like that's like the one piece of all of this.
That you can at least feature and try to develop, and now you don't have that piece.
Hey,
and so.
You know, one thing, because remember we were talking Friday about how they postponed the doll giveaway, and we thought it was because Black Boy JB was on the run, but really it's probably because he was hurt.
Well, that's a good point. That's another thing to consider.
Because they
announced,
you know, later on in the day after our
show
that
he wasn't
going to
play. Yeah, yeah. But again, they're going to give out a bobblehead, though, later.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, so I still think it's about Black Boy JB. I think the timing was just coincidental. But it's an interesting thought. So, who do you want? Zion, yes or no?
You sign me up.
All right, so everybody on this show. Now, are y'all sure about this?
How do we make that happen?
It's not happening.
Bennett, lose out. And pray.
No. Here's what we're going to do. I know you asked how we're going to do it.
Yes.
Okay, I got a perfect idea. Remember the Firefest documentary?
Yes.
You are going to have to be the guy that goes into the lottery room and takes one
no,
for
okay,
yes,
dude.
You are. You're going
to
have
right.
to take
you
one for the
to
team.
Be careful.
You're going to There was a guy on this documentary
mm-hmm.
who offered to do some things to get the water to the campsite. You ask how we get Zion Williamson, it's going to have to be desperate measures.
That's not happening. Let's get down. Let's look seriously at what's in what 6 through you know 6 through 7 territory.
Well, they could end up, you know, fourth, you know, top 4 or 5, I guess, right? But if you go to CBSSports.com
take me out of the top 3 and tell me what's after that.
Cuz you don't think the Grizzlies can get lucky, do you?
Nope.
All right. So
this doesn't happen.
Right now, at least as of 3 days ago, the most recent mock draft I have.
Can I get Cam Reddish?
Not according to this mock draft.
Okay.
But you can get, maybe I can interest you in, Romeo Langford, the freshman over at Indiana.
Saw a little bit of him here recently.
I mean.
It's hard to get.
He was a burger boy, right? I mean, he was a, you know, 5-star prospect coming out of high school.
Absolutely was.
You know? So you can hear him Googling highlights. He's like, what's this kid? What's this kid?
That's what we're doing now.
If you want to take away from Romeo Langford, right, Indiana sucks. They've been terrible. So that's not a great look for Romeo Langford. But listen, talent.
That ain't all on the kid.
No, it's not. He's got talent, undeniable talent. I'll just give you the range.
Give me some more.
Let me give you a range of prospects that if you end up picking.
We're not getting Ja Morant.
Fifth, sixth, seventh, eighth, whatever, if you're in that range, right?
Mm-hmm.
Darius Garland, who is coming off of a
point guard out of Nashville.
Yeah, I believe isn't an ACL. So that would fit great. You can't draft a dude coming off of a torn ACL or whatever. I think it might be a meniscus. It's a meniscus. I don't know if you want to draft a guy who was hurt. That would not be a great sell for your fans.
I'd do it. He's special.
You draft Darius Garland.
Yep, if he's there.
Yeah, and we'll see what happens with Mike Conley. That's another thing to consider too.
That's what I'm doing. They're not gonna have Mike Conley the next couple of years. They're gonna trade Mike Conley.
Okay.
And we don't think DeLon Wright is a starting point guard in the NBA. You're gonna need a point guard. Now Darius is small, but he is special. There's no question.
All right, so Darius Garland. Bennett Jason says he's in on Darius Garland.
I'm going to take a ding. Like, I've watched Darius Garland tear people apart. Dude is cerebral. Like, and again, the size is a concern, but he's a cerebral point guard. His father played in the NBA. Guy's got the IQ, everything else. I think he's special.
Yeah.
And again, I think you're right. It wasn't an ACL.
It was a meniscus.
Minor.
So it's
for the most part.
You know what? That probably could be preventative.
But
almost,
again, give me some more. Give me some more options.
Cam Reddish, the freshman from Duke.
Mm-hmm. The shooting. He's the one Duke kid that can shoot.
He's 6'8". He rates in the top 4% according to Synergy as a pick and roll ball handler, which that's the NBA, right? His shot mechanics are good.
Yes.
He's got good shot mechanics.
Yes.
He is streaky, but, you know, he can knock it down. You know, he's had 3 22-plus point outings in his last five games.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, as a secondary playmaker, he makes a lot of sense.
No doubt.
Like, so you're just talking about building around Jaren.
We could start to get a little
So your core could be Jaren, Cam Reddish, you know. Then you do it again in 2020. You draft another guy in 2020.
Absolutely, because you're going to be.
Yes. And then you hope.
Dylan. You hope Dylan comes back and is back to form.
I hope so. You know.
Yeah.
Who knows, though?
One of the things about being, you know, a young prospect is durability. I know he can't control it. I know he can't control injuries, but you've got to be able to stay on the court. I'd love for Dylan to be a part of this franchise going forward. I'd also love for him to stay healthy.
How about this? The nucleus would be Jaren Jackson Jr., Cam Reddish, James Wiseman in 2020.
Mm-hmm.
Can James Wiseman and Jaren play together? Or do they do too much of the same thing? Are you going to dash my dreams right now? Because this is really something that I was looking forward to. I was really looking forward to James Wiseman becoming the first, first-round Grizzly who went to Memphis.
I mean, you're going to protect that paint. You know that.
Yeah, but I'm afraid they're too much of the same player. Like, I mean, James wants to step out and shoot and block shots. That's what Jaren wants to do. But why can't you have two of those guys?
I think you can.
You think they can play together?
You'd find a way to work that. You'd make that work.
But would they draft James Wiseman, though?
What?
Like, would they draft? Like,
if you had the chance. If Anthony Edwards is sitting there, something you got to take a serious look at. It's got to be like a James Harden type shooting guard, possibly.
They're going to have needs greater than what James Wiseman brings, most likely, for their specific team.
Depends on where they're picking. Wiseman may be the best thing.
But what if their nucleus was Jaren, Cam Reddish, and James Wiseman?
Getting excited about that team.
Now, that's fun. They would do some losing, but man, it'd be fun in the next 3 to 4 years. Okay, let's keep going down the list, 7 and 8. In this particular CBS Sports.com mock draft, Nasir Little from North Carolina.
North Carolina kid.
Yeah.
Yeah.
A 6'6 swing. Taking a little bit of a hit this year, I think, I would say, probably his draft stock. But, again, you know, from a physical standpoint, you can see it.
What else?
Jackson Hayes from Texas.
I haven't watched much of them.
I'm not sure that would make a lot of sense for the Grizzlies. They have Jaren, you know. Jarrett Culver, Texas
Tech.
Get
out of Texas Tech.
Yeah, what do you think about him?
Everybody likes him.
It might be a reach, right? Because I think this particular mock draft has him going ninth. But you never know where the Grizzlies could fall, and they could fall eighth, you know, and Jarrett would get drafted ahead of Jackson Hayes. What do you think about Jarrett Culver?
6'6"?
6'6", yep.
That's what I thought.
Yep.
I like him.
He's a scorer, can defend, yes. You know.
Super athlete, you know. Work on the get that shot consistent. He should be pretty good.
NBADraft.net has them taking KZ Okpala out of Stanford at number 6.
I don't even know who the hell that is. I'm going to be honest with you. He might be awesome. I have no idea.
Could be. I've not watched any Stanford basketball this year.
Yeah. In this mock draft, KZ is going 19th. To the Spurs,
oh,
so that
Lord.
Would be that might be considered. I don't know though. I have no idea who's. You know, I haven't dug into.
Well,
this.
We're getting ready. We're about to.
Yeah,
I'm good. KZ,
that's where it's going.
KZ appears to be a shooting guard that can't shoot very well. So I'm.
You good on that?
Yeah, I'm about to pass.
We had enough of those.
Well, remember, this is a crappy draft. That's what people say. So that is something to consider. Of the prospects that I went down that the Grizzlies could conceivably be in position to draft, right? This is provided they don't get lucky, which, come on, they are overdue for some luck.
Absolutely overdue.
Can we get a top...
last year, though, too.
Can we get a top three pick? I'll take top three. Because that'll give you one of Ja Morant, RJ Barrett, and Zion
and
Williams.
RJ is looking lovely with Zion out. Have you seen what
yes,
he's doing?
Yes, yes.
Monster lines.
And frankly, they could use every single one of those guys, the Grizzlies could. Every single one of those guys will step in and be a starter immediately. And then if you draft Ja Morant, you trade Mike, you know, like, and you could feel comfortable going forward.
Oh, absolutely.
With Ja as your main ball yeah. handler.
That dude's going to put butts in seats.
And that's another point is, like, he would really be exciting. He'd be an exciting player for people to get behind.
No question.
Same with Zion. And I even think RJ Barrett as well.
Yeah. I'm cool with being bad next year as long as, like you say, it's a fun player that they get in this trap. Just, you know what I mean? Just something
oh, yeah. No,
that
I agree.
Gives you hope with Jaren. Like that first season of them two together, they look good together. You
right.
know, they're making
right,
plays
right.
for each other, that kind of thing.
Yeah, the thing I hate for Grizzlies fans is just the fact that it feels like they're getting pulled in a million different directions by this front office, right? It's like you hear that – they're trying to win, apparently. They say they're trying to win, yet they are unable to do it.
No, I mean, dude, I mean, come on. I mean,
they're one of the worst teams in the league right now, at least going back to last month.
Right.
I mean,
there's nothing to win with, John. But what I would go back to, that. I mean, you keep, you know, I know I was in Atlanta when Chris came out, and you're beating him up for saying, you know, and we, look, Chris has taken a bunch of shots, and a bunch of them deserve it. But and saying, hey, let's go convey. We'll, you know, we'll win, and it's about, you know. But what else are you going to say? We all agreed at
right.
that point you could not tank. There's only two ways to go at that point. We all agreed that tanking at that point wasn't going to get you to the bottom. And so what else really was there for him to say? I appreciated that it wasn't, hey, you know. When I told you then, I remember you asking me about it, what did you think about these comments? I appreciated the idea that, okay, let's stop BSing around here. Say what you're trying to do, whether or not we think it's possible or not. Shoot us straight, right? So we're all either on the same page or, we're, you know, get us all on the same. And for the most part, he did it. There was nothing else to say. At that point, you can't say, well, we're all going in to tank. We all agreed at that point it didn't look like the smart move.
Right, but that's what's happening now. I mean, literally a week and a half later, 2 weeks later.
Well, you're tanking yeah. while trying to win. So you're really accomplishing.
That is so depressing.
I guess
that's one of the most depressing
yeah,
things.
I mean, I guess I appreciate the honesty, but it's like, if that was your goal, I mean, now we know that goal is pretty much unachievable. Like, I don't. That's why I didn't really understand saying it.
Tanking while
me.
You're trying to. Well, is there a more depressing situation in the NBA? You're trying to win and you can't.
No, you're losing to the Bulls and to the Cleveland Cavaliers, teams that are at the bottom. It's pretty bad. But again,
only Zion
now,
can save us.
Now, all of a sudden, we've got a new mission, and that is looking at these prospects and seeing what Memphis is going to get, because they're going to get a draft pick. Is that not, at least for us, and where you were headed and the way you're getting up out of the bed every morning thinking about the Grizzlies, is not that not the best thing, that we can actually look at some prospects
trying to find
the gem in the draft?
No question.
Compared to the alternative, which we said was best for this franchise.
Yes.
For us, though, having a pick
to talk about, and
a draft to break down, because they will have a pick, is actually a little bit more interesting radio,
yeah.
I would assume.
Well, it definitely
a bit more
is.
Exciting.
It definitely is.
Yeah.
And you know what? If you happen to pick up two young, dynamic players, even though this might be a weak draft, all you have to do as a franchise is get one right. That's it. It might be a weak draft 1 through 60, Jason.
Mm-hmm.
It probably is, comparatively speaking. But all you have to do is find one
right.
guy.
And you figure later,
you can't
Lux
find one guy in
this
draft.
Franchise at some point, you know? Like, Lady Luck's got to.
This is I know people say this is a 3 or 4 player draft. Well, I mean, find one of those four. Get in a position to draft one of those four. Like, and it won't be.
Yeah, I don't think that's possible. What are they going to get up there with?
What do you mean?
You said get in a position to draft one on the top.
You just get lucky. You just get lucky is what I'm saying.
But yeah, that kind of luck ain't happening. It's going to take the luck with the guy you get, that you got the right one and that he's...
Well, and basketball evaluation is not that much of luck. I mean, it's like doing a good job. It's like, you know, being able to project, okay, is this guy going to be a stud in the NBA? What can he be? What's his ceiling? What does he do? I mean, that's evaluation. That's not just luck, right? I mean, that's trusting the people who work for you to do that job and to do it well.
We believe that it won't be the same, at least.
Yep.
Samely organized group of people doing it.
That's the other complicated part about this, right? Now they're going to actually, you know, have a draft pick. So who the hell is doing the evaluation on that? Who's scouting? Who is making the decisions?
To be determined.
To be determined, yeah. So anyway, you just hope that whoever it is makes the right one because it's vital. You're going to have one. You're going to have one this year. So you got to make sure you get it right. All right, we'll come back. Andre Turner's going to join us. We will talk to him about Jeremiah Martin's run, coaching him, and his career. Back in a minute. Jason and John, 92.9 FM, ESPN.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Guests appear on the Sportsbook at Hollywood Casino Hotline.
Broadcasting on 92.9, 680 AM and online at 92.9ESPN.com. This is the Jason and John Show, presented by the Wing Guru, only on Memphis' sports station, 92.9 FM, ESPN.
All right, you're rolling with Jason and John. Somebody else that's rolling is Jeremiah Martin, and someone who coached him. His name is Andre Turner. He's the head coach over at Mitchell High School, and he joins us now as promised. Coach Turner, how you doing, man?
Hey, what's happening, Jason? Everything's good, man.
Everything is good on this side. Let me ask you this. You coached Jeremiah Martin at one time over at Mitchell High School. Did you ever think that you were looking at a guy and coaching a guy that would have one day passed you on the scores list over the University of Memphis?
Well, I was definitely hoping so. Strictly because of his work ethic, because of the humbleness about Jeremiah, how he approaches everything, man, so far as in a business mindset once he hits that floor. And, man, I've only wished for great things for him.
Have you ever seen a run? Can you remember a scoring run like this, Coach Turner, where anybody, whether somebody you played with, whether it was later after your time there, you know, Jeremiah's averaging 31 points basically over his last seven. You remember a run like this by anybody?
It's been a wild time, especially when you've had, I guess, a number of guys that could, I guess, perhaps go out there and get some numbers. You know, there was such, I guess, a diverse of players who had the ability. But still, it talks to the ability of Jeremiah, and I think it's kind of like the urgency that's going on with him right now. Because he wants to see this team do well, and he feels that he's the leader, and he has to put the team on his back.
Andre, has he always been this kind of a guy? You know, he said after he had the 43 points last week that, you know, he credited hard work and dedicating himself to his craft. Has he always been a hard worker, or is that something that he's learned along the way?
Man, with us, man, he's always worked hard. I remember watching Jeremiah in middle school, and he worked hard, but I think there was something that kind of clicked once he got to high school, and he wanted to, you know, be the best guy. He wanted to guard the best guy from the other team, and he worked like that. And so, you know, our conversation to Jeremiah always was, man, we want to be a leader, but in order to be able to tell the rest of your teammates, you know, different things about that's going on and how you're trying to make the team better, I said, you have to outwork everybody first. I said, so if you get in there, you outwork everybody, and then your mindset is man, I got to be the best guy on the floor, then you can it transfers to you being able to talk to your teammates and then for them to listen. You know, the different thing for you talking, but to get them to listen.
Coach, he must be the ultimate example to be able to hold up in front of, like, a group of high school kids like you, Coach, and particularly with Jeremiah coming out of Mitchell, to where you can show them, you know, what hard work does. 397th ranked prospect coach coming out of Mitchell High School, talking about in the country, and you look at where he is on these scoring charts and on the steals list, he's top 10 and all this stuff. And to today's young athlete who wants it now, right, wants to be the five-star, I imagine this is a great story and a great example that you tell and you can give to them.
Absolutely. I mean, he was 390, you know, some are to other folk. But, of course, to us, you know, that wasn't the case.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we knew, you know, the kind of player that Jeremiah, you know, could turn out to be. Did we know that Jeremiah was going to go on a run of seven games where he'd be averaging 31 points a game during one of his seasons at the University of Memphis? Probably not. But did we know that he was going to be the ultimate worker, the guy that who's, as he continued to play, that his confidence was going to continue to rise, and he was going to, you know, at one time or another, be extremely integral and extremely important part of the University of Memphis success.
We are, of course, talking to Andre Turner, former Memphis Tiger, now coaching over there at Mitchell here on the show. Coach, we've asked several guests, especially those who know Memphis basketball, know the history, what they've made of Penny's first season. From your perspective, because I know you've been watching, you obviously have a vested interest in that program's success. What have you thought about the first year of Penny Hardaway at Memphis?
Well, I mean, and the thing about it is, man, people from the outside, you know, looking in and think that, oh, man, he got this player and that player. I mean, you know, it's easy, man. It is. Not easy by any notion that when you come into a new situation, then you're a rookie coach on a national level. You're talking about D1 level, and you know, you're playing against extremely good talent night in and night out. So there's a preparation that has to go for, and so there's a learning curve that has to go with you know, Penny's with his preparation. And so we you know, we're behind in 1,000%, and we know that. You know, it takes so many wins, and then the strength of your conference, and then the strength of your scheduling, and you know, all these different you know, aspects take place to maybe perhaps to get to that you know, to the run that we want here in Memphis, you know, to get to the dance, and because we're, you know, we're what you call spoiled, you know, to an extent, as Memphis fans, because we want, you know, we want what we want, and But also us that are very familiar and understand, you know, basketball, we know that it's a process. But what we also know, too, is that in March, the tournament is going to be right here in Memphis. And we know that, you know, we've had a pretty good run, you know, in the FedEx Forum. So, you know, we still have a great chance, you know, of making it and understanding that, man, it's a tough road. But, you know, Penny, I think, is doing a valuable job with those guys. And the big thing is getting them to believe in him and getting them to play hard every single night. And he understands that.
Coach, what advice would you give to their freshman guards? And I'm talking about Alex Lomax, Tyler Harris, even Antoine Jones. For a guy like you that at one time the crowd's saying Andre turnover, and then you become the little general, it, like you just talked about, it's a process. So what would you tell their freshman guards who've had some of those ups and downs like you did your freshman season? What would you tell them?
Man, you never stop working. They never stop believing. And that's the biggest thing. I mean, it could have happened, whereas when, you know, you pick up the, you know, your commercial appeal and you read, you know, Andre turnover and, you know, big bold letters and saying, man, what am I doing? Mm-hmm. And then start doubting yourself, and it could happen. But there's another way to look at it and say, okay, there's the doubters again, because I've had that before. There's mm-hmm. people told me that I wouldn't play, you know, D1 basketball. Of course, I definitely wouldn't play, you know, professional basketball. So now I'm using that as fuel.
Yeah.
So now I need to get back to the lab. I need to work. I need to study. And it's about honing your craft. I mean, it's not just about just working and get out on that court. And if, say, for Alex, get in there in the lab and shooting, saying for Tyler to understand about running, you know, the team and getting guys involved and picking and choosing, you know, those moments to, you know, take, you know, different shots and understand the game. But it's about looking at film and understanding how to play the position and taking, you know, constructive criticism, you know, from your coaches, from the people who really care about you and understand what they're doing.
Coach, you guys did a great job with him over there at Mitchell High School. And I know, region semis, I know you're still doing it. Like we said, head coach over at Mitchell. Y'all, region semifinals tomorrow night?
Absolutely, man. We have a tall task ahead of us. But the other thing is that we're kind of waiting because Raleigh Egypt had a mishap in the gym the other day where I guess there was a leak or whatnot, and so they
haven't played.
Had to postpone. Well, actually, the game was in the second quarter. It was like a 2019 game in the second quarter, and I think that's where they'll resume tonight against Fayette Ware. And so we're waiting the outcome, the winner, and we'll play tomorrow night down at Ripley.
Well, good luck to you, Coach. And, Coach,
yes,
thank you so much for the time.
Oh, man, absolutely. My pleasure, Jason and John, man. Appreciate y'all having me.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
Good luck tomorrow, Coach.
He is Andre Turner. Always always appreciate his time. And it is good to hear, you know, because he did have that moniker, right? Andre Turnover. And
yeah, well, us as a fan base can be pretty tough on a freshman guard.
No question.
To his point, we expect greatness. And, man, we will ride a freshman. And, you know, there have been times this year where, you know, Lomax has probably looked out on Twitter and seen a little bit of that. Mm-hmm. Now, you got to keep in mind, I mean, it's times 100 now. You know, as opposed to, like Andre was talking about, you'd see it in the commercial appeal. You know, Andre, it's one thing to see it there, right? You can pick it up or not. It's another thing where it's all over Twitter and everywhere these social
now
media.
Now the Daily Memphian.
When they look at it. Oh, my gosh, look at the way you're right, the Daily Memphian as well.
Not just the commercial appeal anymore.
So it's times 10 now. And so it's harder to tune that stuff out.
The Athletic is in existence. It wasn't in existence back in the day when Andre was playing.
Mm-hmm.
You know? So definitely times have changed. Appreciate his time. Jonathan asked us on Twitter, do you guys know if the AAC is flexible with the tournament schedule? So if Memphis ends up as the 5 seed, will they move the Memphis games to the nighttime slot?
I don't believe so. It's locked in for 2. They don't put those down. I think the bracket's already out, and you can see the times. I don't believe they'll move them.
Yeah.
Don't think so.
That's unfortunate because that is going to – talk about empty building.
The likelihood is Memphis is going to be the 5.
You don't think they – I mean, because people are not going to go to a 2 o'clock game. Do you think people will take off work to go to a 2 p.m. game in the conference tournament?
That 2 p.m. would be the 5 seed on Thursday.
You do? I mean, that's 2 o'clock on a weekday?
No, I do. I mean, just because, like, they have in the past when it's been here.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with 3 rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.